This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. This week, Michigan set a dubious record, the highest number of hospitalizations due to COVID. 4,158 people for the first time since the pandemic began. That's according to state records of confirmed cases. Smaller hospitals are definitely feeling the weight, and even some of Michigan's most robust medical systems say the current rate of infection is not sustainable. John Fox is the CEO of Beaumont Health System, and he's with us now. Mr. Fox, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you, April. Appreciate the time.
We heard last week from Beaumont that things were dire at several locations. Can you bring us up to date about where things stand this week?
Certainly. We are struggling here in Michigan with an incredibly difficult situation. At Beaumont, 6 weeks ago, we had about 130 COVID inpatients across our eight hospitals. Since then, the number has shot up to about 800. So it's kind of like a flood that has come in with respect to patients suffering COVID right now. The UK variant that is dominating Michigan, we do testing on it, and it's well over 70-80%. It's so dominant, there's really no reason to try to even measure it anymore, is much more infectious. So in the first surge of a year ago, back in March, April of 2020, and the subsequent one in October, November, December of 2020, we were dealing with the old COVID virus that was not as infectious. This one is more dangerous in that the infection rate is so high that people who are infected really can transfer it to a lot more people a lot faster. And that is what is driving the situation here in Michigan. Our positivity rate, when we test patients for COVID, normally was about 5%. Now it's close to, or has actually exceeded 20%. When it gets that high, you know it's running fairly rampant out there in the community. And it's stressing all of healthcare in Michigan, but that's the Beaumont story.
At this stage of the game, what percentage of your medical staff has been able to be vaccinated?
Well, the total medical community is north of 65%. That's all of our employees. We have 38,000 employees. There's variation within that. Some areas, it's a relatively low percentage in the 30s. Some is very high percentage, more in the frontline care workers, definitely up in the 90% zone.
Institutions of all kinds and of all sizes are dealing with questions that some of their staff may have about vaccination and some hesitancy. Is there anything specific that you've learned about the reasons why people may not have scheduled their doses, or what the hospital or what the health system can do to try to encourage them to do so?
Well, we are trying to encourage them, and we communicate internally and externally. The vaccine works. We have had, actually anybody who's vaccinated, we have had no deaths since the vaccines have become available for those who have been vaccinated. You still can contract the virus, but you're going to have a much more mild case. And frankly, patients who are vaccinated do very well. Most of them never even need to be hospitalized. So it's very effective at immunizing you from the virus, including the new B.1.1.7 variant. I think there are a lot of different reasons people are waiting. Some are suspicious of any new drug or agent, and that's not an irrational thing in most cases. There's a lot of what I call wait and see going on. But that's a dangerous proposition because, again, it's not like waiting and seeing in the first two surges. This third surge is different. And that really can, you know, confound people's historical thinking about, I've not been vaccinated all through this. So, you know, I'm really taking the same risk I was taking in 2020. That is not the case with this virus.
I wanted to ask about the capacity issues that you're dealing with. They have pretty obvious consequences in places like COVID treatment units and ICUs. Are there other repercussions throughout Beaumont, say, for example, in emergency rooms?
There certainly are. We have a new wave of patients that we did not have before, certainly before COVID-19 presented itself, that frankly can disrupt a lot of the other healthcare services we're trying to provide. We are open for all of our healthcare services. I think our frontline care workers, true healthcare heroes, are doing an outstanding job. But it is disruptive when you have a growing census. That has an impact. It just floods the system. And again, it's a lot of our colleagues around the state and other healthcare systems are experiencing much of the same thing. For whatever reason, we are just into it bigger, and we have a higher volume than others, probably just by a function of our size.
Is there any way to know how many people might, or do you worry at all about how many people might be turned away for lack of capacity, either in the ER or in any other units?
We worry about it. We have not had to do that. Our staff has responded. They've improvised. Our nurses, physicians, respiratory therapists have just all been extraordinary. And so they make it work. We're fortunate. We have eight hospitals in our system. That archipelago of capacity is something we rely on every day. Every day we have a call on our emergency operations center that I participate in, plus 160 other leaders from across the system. And we go hospital by hospital. What's the situation? How are we doing in the critical care units? How many are waiting in the ER? Does somebody need ventilators? Do we need to move equipment around? So this is a daily routine that we've been into for all three surges. And frankly, it's really enabled us to be fairly responsive. We're extremely proud of what we've been able to do to treat our communities for the COVID-19 infections that they suffer.
Are some locations still doing outdoor triage?
We have some areas set up that are doing that to relieve congestion in the ER, and those are going well. They seem to be working fairly well. And again, the goal is to get treatment to patients faster. And if we can divide it up and provide outpatient triage areas and tents, a lot of them are heated tents and things like that, and do it comfortably, and the patients appreciate having a much shorter wait time and getting their clinical issue evaluated and taken care of by our, frontline staff.
Some people have looked at that shift in the demographic of who's being hospitalized right now. Some have looked at the current death rates compared with the initial surge and said, well, you know what, it's not so bad this time around. Would you agree with that assessment?
That's a risky assessment. I think that the mortality rate is substantially less here and across America than it was in the first surge, but it is not zero. And I think that's what people need to remember, that unfortunately, we have patients dying of COVID-19 every day here in Michigan, and they are on average younger patients than occurred in the first two surges. And that's obviously it's a tragedy for the patient and their families. It's also very hard on the staff, who just hate to lose any patient to COVID-19 or any other illness.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking today with John Fox. He's the CEO of Beaumont Health System, which has been speaking out about capacity issues within recent days. John, are there places that Beaumont can transfer people when various hospitals are at capacity?
We transfer people internally and have not had to do that that much. We basically are flexing within each of our eight hospitals and are adjusting sometimes the surgery schedule or other things that can be deferred safely and not immediately done that day. We do talk to our colleagues around the state and in the area about the potential to need to transfer. We have just not had to do that yet. I will say that since this is our third surge, each one we get better and better at managing it, something we'd rather not have to do. But I think we have learned a lot in the past year in terms of how to respond to a pandemic like COVID-19, even if it is mutating on us into a more problematic form.
You know, in the weeks of the initial surge last year, Southeast Michigan had some large field hospitals that were prepared at great expense and very quickly and ready to go. And they never served that many patients. It turned out that COVID patients have a lot of needs at the front end of care, like a strong diagnosis on where the early progression is headed and some quick analysis of what kind of triage treatment is best. And then in later stages, the patients who were hospitalized for longer times for COVID tended to be older or have comorbidities or physical therapy needs, all the things that brick and mortar hospitals do really well. How are you thinking about the options within our healthcare system if the current infection trend continues and we are dealing with more and more patients? I mean, are there options to expedite transfers or expand ICU capacity if Beaumont gets to a point where you have to look outside the system?
I think that there are options that we can consider. Again, the first job of government is to protect the health and well-being of the populations they serve. So I think, and we do have a lot of discussions going on with government officials about what may be needed around that. I do think that we have to be very careful about opening up large new facilities, field hospitals, because frankly, the beds are the easiest thing to get. The hardest thing to get is staff. It's getting the nurses, physicians, the respiratory therapists, phlebotomists, everybody else needed to take care of those patients. And as you just alluded to, one key issue is having the clinical depth to do it. Many of these patients that are COVID positive and are inpatients have other medical comorbidities that need to be managed. You need a certain amount of depth to do that. You need, you know, ICU availability and medical subspecialties available to manage these patients. And a pop-up field hospital sometimes can, you know, often does not have that kind of depth. We have some beds we could open up, but we cannot do it without making sure we have adequate staff. And, you know, we will not do that from a safety standpoint.
I wanted to ask you about one of the treatments that Governor Whitmer has indicated she's interested in seeing hospitals ramp up, and that's monoclonal antibody treatments. This is a procedure by which people are infused with antibodies that can help in the early stages of infection, that can help avoid a hospitalization. Do you have any idea how many patients per day Beaumont hospitals are able to do that with at the moment?
I do not have that handy. I will tell you that we use those tools every day. It is the monoclonal antibodies. It's also remdesivir, which has been effective in mitigating the effect of the disease on many patients and controlling the condition and reducing the severity. So part of the improvement we have at Beaumont Health, but I think also nationally, is these medications are now much more readily available. You have to use them in a certain way. Remdesivir, for example, requires a 5-day regimen of infusion therapy. So we may treat a patient for 3 days in the hospital. They may be healthy enough that they could do the last 2 days outpatient. But if we don't have an outpatient infusion center available with capacity to handle those patients, then they may wind up staying in the hospital an extra day or two. But on your point, there are more therapies out there, certainly than were available at the start of the pandemic. They are effective, but again, this is not a risk-free proposition. The best thing people can do is to get vaccinated and to continue to follow all the public health guidance we've been given on masking, social distancing, and hand hygiene. You want to stay safe? You do that. Otherwise, you're playing a little bit of medical Russian roulette.
Where does Beaumont stand right now with respect to elective surgeries?
We are still doing elective surgeries. We analyze that, frankly, every day. on a hospital by hospital basis. And some surgeries we are deferring if they're going to consume inpatient capacity that we have to free up for our COVID population. So it's important that the healthcare system remain open for all the other non-COVID conditions out there. And that was one of the difficulties of the first surge, is a lot of care that was needed for non-COVID issues was deferred in oncology, cardiovascular, and other areas. And that is a problem, I believe, for patients. I think the research that'll be done post-COVID around this is really going to demonstrate that there was a cost to that that was not insignificant, and something that we're going to need to figure out should we ever be in this situation again.
You know, you mentioned earlier that one of the biggest problems right now is not equipment, it's not beds, it's people. And we hear that the burnout that hospitals in the region are facing is significant. Do you have any idea how many staff you've lost this year?
We track that. I don't have that handy. Here's what's going on. We have, the way I put it to people, we really have two tragedies. The first one is the pandemic and the effect of that disease on the mortality and morbidity, the overall health of our communities. But the second tragedy, if you will, real stress, is we are now in our 13th month of this pandemic. It has become a marathon. And again, our healthcare heroes, our frontline care workers are doing an extraordinary job that America cannot under-recognize or cannot recognize enough in terms of thanking them for all that they do. And we are doing everything that we can to ease their situation. We have food trucks going to our hospital, providing all of our staff with free food and things like that. Anything that would give them a boost for the day, we want to do. We also remind them to pace themselves and not get too overworked. We juggle staff to do that and make sure we control the burnout risk as much as we can. But we cannot underestimate the sacrifice that they have provided, if you will, to our community. And it's not a cost-free sacrifice.
Beaumont Health System CEO John Fox has been my guest today. John, thank you very much, both for the work that everyone at Beaumont's doing and for your time.
Well, thank you. And if anybody can thank a healthcare worker today, they're all healthcare heroes, whether they're at Beaumont or anywhere else. It really helps them recharge their batteries to be recognized. So appreciate your ongoing coverage of this critical issue.